preached Jesus and he preached the resurrection. And the verse 37 says, now when they heard this, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, or because of the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now here it is, folks. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What happens? It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is the local church. It is the local church that reaches souls. It is the local church that baptizes believers. Amen. Amen. It's the local church that edifies members. It's the local church that administers the Lord's table. It's the local church that visits the hospital. Amen. It's the local church that influences a community. It's the local church that sends out missionaries. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe everybody who's truly been saved ought to attach themselves to a local church. You say, well, we're all part of the church. That's true. Amen. I went to the Philippines. They're part of the church. So are we. But you know what? I can't call Brother No-No when I get in the hospital. Huh? I can't do that. Amen. I need a local body of believers. The church in Jerusalem. The church at Ephesus. The church at Corinth. The church at Philippi. Amen. Local bodies of believers. Ever since March of 1996, 20 years ago this month, I've been a member of a local New Testament independent Baptist church, Bible preaching church. It's been a blessing. And I just have a note here. It said, wherever the wind of the Holy Spirit has blown the feather of my life, I've attached myself to a local church. We're talking about in our Sunday school lesson this morning how marriage, that beautiful first institution of God, it's a picture of Christ and His church. Relationship between Christ and His church. Now that being said, I've been a member of a church for 20 years. I've been a pastor for, almost of that, I guess probably about 15, between youth pastor and associate pastor and senior pastor. And I've seen all kinds of different church members. I really have. I've seen sinful church members. I can go back in my mind to hear somebody who was the loudest amen in the hall, who was committing adultery on his wife. Not right. Doesn't make me not want to be a church member, though. I've seen carnal church members. I've seen church members walking into the liquor store and out with a brown bag. I've seen church members in places where they shouldn't ought to have been. I've seen fickle church members. You say, what's fickle? Take it or leave it. I guess I'll go to church this week. Well, maybe not. I mean, I got yard work to do. Doesn't make me not want to be a church member, folks. I've seen demanding church members. Who would I send it to? Bryce, I sent it to you, the pastor's chair. where it's a thing online that I think, Scott, you were the one that initially sent it to me, was it's a video from a pastor's chair. And everybody coming into his office and demanding things. And I think probably the funniest thing in that video, Brother Horsch, is when the man who is the chairman of the deacons says, he takes a big drag off a cigarette and says, "I'm the chairman of the deacons, amen." And listen, they're demanding church members. "Pastor, I need to talk to you right now." Miss Kim, are they given? If they're not, let me just clue you in on something pastors think about. If you're not giving and you say, "I want to see you right now," this is what you sound like to me when you talk. "Wah, wah, 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 wah." Demanding church members. "This needs to be done. It needs to be done right now." Okay? I've seen draining church members. I have a dear pastor friend. He's got two or three people in his church that literally drain him dry of time, of time, of time, and finances. Draining church members. I've seen griping church members. Oh, they're not mad at you, but they feel like they have to point out everything that's negative, which is a lot. Amen. I've seen fearful church members who just seem to be afraid all the time. I've seen overpious church members that thought they were all that. And they knew how to pray in the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they never knew how to show up to a work day. I've seen cold church members. You preach your heart out, and you couldn't move them. I've seen unfaithful church members. I thank God I'll tell you what, you dear folks are faithful. I mean that. The deacons know every month we go over our numbers, and all we do is rejoice. We rejoice at Wednesday night. We rejoice at Sunday night. To look out, and I'm not comparing. Every church, I'm glad if they have Sunday night service, but I'm always thankful for a crowd up over 100 on Sunday nights, and seems like more folks are coming and grasping on. And I've seen high maintenance church members that just always needed to have somebody propping them up. And listen, that's part of what we do, edifying. But with all that said, those are kind of the negatives, I guess. I've known way more amazing and wonderful church members that you could take all of these negative points and turn them around. If we've seen sinful church members, I've seen faithful church members and godly church members. And I want to talk to you tonight, if I could, about somebody in the Bible that was the ideal church member, and what we can learn about what's the makeup of an ideal church member. I mentioned this morning, I always said I wanted to be high output, Brother Leonard, and low maintenance as a church member. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be high output. If the pastor had something that needed to be done, I wanted to be there so that he didn't have to look for somebody to do it, and I didn't want him to have to always worry about what I was thinking or where I was or if I was with him. I knew, I want him to know I was with him. Amen. And so if you look at Acts chapter 11, and I'll not go through the introduction of the chapter. There's a lot in there, really. You see salvation that happens at the beginning. Then you have contention, and it's amazing where you have salvation, you have contention. Huh? The devil doesn't like salvation, amen. And then after that, you have Peter's great proclamation, verses 4 through 17. And then you have, when they heard that, they glorified God, in verse 18, glorification. Then you have separation, that these, in verse 19 we looked at, they were preaching only to the Jews. And you remember, Jesus said, he came unto his own first, and his own received him not. Remember what he said to that dear lady who had the daughter that was ill. She was a Syrophoenician. Jesus said, listen, I'm not come but to the lost sheep of Israel. Paul would say later, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. and also to the Greek. And so there's this separation here, but then there's a confirmation. Verse 20 and 21, it talks about, especially verse 21, there was these of Cyprus and Cyrene and Grecians, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and they believed. And they got the same thing that the Jews got. Amen? And so then you see the exhortation in verses 22-23. I want to look at this character Barnabas here, if we could. And so we're gonna jump around Acts and just look at some mentions of Barnabas. And if you would, so go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And verse number... let's look at verse 34 there says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of houses or lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed," who? Barnabas. "Which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, many people through the years have taken this out of context and said, "See, God wants us to be communists." No, He doesn't at all. This was a unique time. Always remember this when you study the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a transitional book between the Gospels and the Epistles. Anything that you want to know about the church, about church polity, about church doctrine, you find in the Epistles. And so here was a time where there was great growth in the church and there was great need. And so the apostles had said, if there's anybody that would like to be a blessing, please be a blessing. And Barnabas stepped up and he sold some land that he had. He brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know what? First of all, number one, I believe the ideal church member sees needs and meets needs. They don't walk around pointing out needs and saying, "Gee, I wish somebody would get to that." Come on, church. There was a need. He saw that it was a need. He realized that he could do something about it, and he did. That is what... Listen, I'm so thankful. We have a wonderful custodian here. Miss Bittinger, I thank God for you, and I mean that. We have good fellowship during the week. I'm working, she's working, we're passing by each other, we talk, fellowship. But listen, if there's a candy wrapper on the floor, you don't have to wait till Miss Bittinger is around to pick it up. You can just reach down and pick it up, amen? If there's something you see need done, now please, we don't need amateur electricians. Amen, Brother Lem? We don't need amateur electricians. Amen. Now, if there's a serious need, please let one of our deacons know, let myself know. But simple things. Barnabas just looked. And I love here what it says about Barnabas. I can see some characteristics in here. I see humility. You know, he didn't want a pat on the back. He just felt like, hey, this was a need. And I could meet the need. Boy, I appreciate people that do things in secret. Pastor Donald knows, Miss Kim knows, I think the McGees know, obviously the Kellys know because they're our assistant treasurers and our treasurer. But I appreciate people that just do things, they don't want any recognition. They just want to meet a need. I see humility there. And obviously humility characterizes the ideal church member, but something else there, I see generosity. Generosity. You know, if God's blessed you, He didn't bless you so you could be like a Daffy Duck with the pearl and say, "It's mine, mine, it's all mine, 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 mine." No, he didn't want you to be that way. He wants you to share it, be a blessing to somebody else, be a help to somebody else along the way. But I see something else, and boy, I tell you, I appreciate Pastor Donald. I know we were just talking about this the other day, King Josiah's Club, our summer children's club, and I appreciate that. One of the lessons that they taught, I think we see here in Barnabas, and it's the lesson of initiative. Initiative. He took initiative. You say, what's initiative? You know, Pastor Donald, if you ask my kids what initiative is, they will tell you because they learned it from you in that lesson. You know what my kids told me? And that's a fantastic definition of initiative. You know what initiative is? Doing right without being asked. doing right without being asked. Oh, my goodness. And so we see an issue. You know what's amazing about this? If you contrast this with Barnabas's response and responsibility to just the beginning of the next chapter, we see some church members who were not ideal. Matter of fact, they were so rotten, God killed them. Huh? Brother Ron Gears used to preach a message called Every Once in a While God Gets in a Killing Mood. Right out of this text. And what was it that was totally the opposite? They were looking for reward and they were had this false humility and false piety. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, ideal church members, and I don't know about you, but I want to be an ideal church member. By the way, I am the pastor, but I'm also a member of this church, amen? An ideal church member sees needs and meets needs. Here's a good one. Go over to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I was looking and studying for this, and I was really trying to work this second point here, and well, the Lord just helped me with this. Acts chapter 9, verse 23, really through 30, and I preached out of this text on hold the rope, amen. Great text. It says, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. That's the Apostle Paul. Why? Because they couldn't silence him. He had every answer. They'd say this, and he was so endued with the Holy Spirit that he just couldn't answer and said, we got to kill him. We just can't stop him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched in the gates day and night to kill him, verse 24, verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Remember, he had been gone for 3 years. If you read Galatians chapter 3, where the Lord Jesus taught him in the Arabian desert, amen. And then he came back and they said, we know this guy. He's the one that had people ahead. Hey, he's the one that was standing there when the great deacon Stephen was stoned to death. We know who that he is, but look what it says in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how that he had spoken unto him and that how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he was with them in coming and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. You know what I see here in this story about it, this Barnabas, an ideal church member? I see somebody who not only sees needs and meets needs, but I see somebody in this text who steadies others. They were afraid of Saul, rightly so. Amen? And you know what? Barnabas just came in. He said, hold on, folks, hold on. Let me tell you about this man. Let me tell you how he preached, and he preached boldly, and he's not, and he took time, and you know what he did? He steadied everybody that was there. To the point at the end, you know what they did? They became missionary senders and sent him out. You know, an ideal church member is not just somebody who soaks in criticism and griping. Yeah. It's somebody who says, ho, 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 ho. No, no, no. No, let's not do that. An ideal church member is somebody who steadies others. Well, you know, did you hear about so-and-so and they did this and that? No, 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 no. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's be biblical. Let's go talk to that person. Yeah. Boy, oh, that we had more church members in churches. We don't have it here. I don't believe we do. We had more church members that weren't content to be garbage cans and take in everybody's junk, but just steadied other people. Some of you don't realize how steadying you are. I'll tell you what. We had a business meeting one time, and one of the dear members that's here tonight had such a steadying influence in that meeting. I'll never forget it. And he stood up and calmly and quietly said, everybody's had their say. and I think it's time to vote. I'll never forget that. Just the steadiness. And that person was of such great character that nobody could look at them and say, it steadied everybody. Oh, I thank God for people like that in the work of God. Just the ideal church member is not somebody. I hope that people don't want to come to you and gossip. Huh? Yeah. I hope that they feel like, well, that's a lost cause. Amen. They're not going to listen. Amen. Barnabas took Saul here and he steadied other. Boy, if I want to be something as a pastor, I hope I steady you in the faith. Amen. Just that's what Barnabas did here. He steadied others. He saw a need and met it. And then if we go to Acts chapter 11, really kind of the bulk of our message tonight, and a couple more points, and got a bunch of sub-points. Wish Brother Hendershot was here. I'd tell him just how many, too. Amen. He'll be back soon, a couple more weeks, Ms. Forner told me today. But verse 22 through 24, the ideal church member sees needs and meets needs. The ideal church member steadies others. The ideal church member is spiritual. We talked about that in last week's message on this idea of having our spiritual life, enemies of our spiritual life. But we'll see here, what is somebody that's spiritual? Verse 22 of Acts chapter 11 says, "Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." I see nine different sub-points here, and I'll not stay long. I've got a runner here. Forgive me, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not bad when you get one, but when the preacher gets one, it's a mess. Amen. First of all, I'd see this. A spiritual man is a saved man. It's a saved man. A saved man. That's so basic that we almost jump over it. But really, verse 23 says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad." Pastor Donald, you know why he was glad when he'd seen the grace of God? He recognized it. He recognized it. He realized, hey, that's what happened to me. Those people got just what I got. Amen. As for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I see this spiritual man, this ideal church member, he's a saved man. Something else I see, he's a faithful man. Verse 22 says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas." You say, how do you get faithful out of that? Hard to send somebody forth if he's not there to be sent. Amen? Hard to send somebody forth. I've watched people through the years and they want greater responsibility. Listen, if you can't show up for Sunday school, God's not going to use you to teach Sunday school. Amen? If you can't show up for soul winning, do you think God's going to have you to be a pastor? I wonder. He was a faithful man. And Barnabas, listen, ladies and gentlemen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I wish, oh boy, I wish I could get that. And again, I think by and large we get that. I know you have to work. Somebody please say amen to that. I know that as a pastor. I know you have to work. I know there are things that come up. But some things that come up shouldn't come up. Listen, if Aunt B, I've said this so many times, if Aunt B comes in on Sunday afternoon, invite her to church. If she doesn't want to come, show her where the refrigerator is, the restroom, the door, amen. Just and say, we'll be back at about 8:30 when that long-winded preacher gets done, amen. Faithful. Faith. Barnabas was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. He was a saved man. Something else you see right in this text here. Oh, I love this part. Verse 23 says, "Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was what? Glad." Glad. You know, that's the same word, chero. It's the same word that is used in Philippians 4:4 twice. Rejoice in the Lord evermore. And again I say, rejoice. It's also in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. You know what a spiritual man is? He's a saved man, a faithful man. And by the way, of course, it applies to women here as well, but a joyful man. A joyful man. The ideal church member is joyful. I'm not talking about being an idiot. You know, there's always that, the fool, amen, with the fool hat. No, but I'm talking about you have that joy. You people, I don't know about you, but I want to be around joyful Christians. Now, I'd be around Christians, amen. I want to be around God's people, love God's people, whether they're joyful or not. We love the brethren. But I love Christians that have joy. The first thing they talk about is the Lord. Oh, that's good stuff. That's the kind of, you know, Miss Marissa, your daddy and I, we have such great fellowship. I'm telling you, we just do. Can two walk together except they be agreed, amen? We love being around each other. I like to think I have the joy of the Lord, and I know Pastor Fred Robles has the joy of the Lord. I like being around him. A spiritual man, a spiritual woman has joy. They're joyful, amen? They're joyful. It says right there, glad. And when he saw the grace of God, he was glad. He had joy. What else? Spiritual man. Oh, this is verse 23. When he had came and seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. You know what? The spiritual man is an encouraging man. Spiritual woman's an encouraging woman. And I hope when you do things like Loomis Ladies and Secret Sister Miss Linda, that you could say, the Lord used me to encourage somebody. Lord used me to encourage somebody. Boy, a spiritual person is an encouraging person. Hey, listen, we all have our Eeyore moments. Oh. How you doing today?
Well, I guess I woke up.
Okay. Amen. But, boy, it sure is a blessing when somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know what, Miss Joanne, I've been praying for you. That's a spiritual person right there. That's a spiritual person. Somebody that's not waiting for somebody to come and say, oh, I'm praying for you. No, I'm praying for you. Hey, you know what? You need a blessing. You need your yard raked. We got a youth pastor. He does that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And no, an encouragement. It says when he came and seen the grace of God, exhorted them all. I think he maybe said like this. You know what? God's working here. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, aren't you glad the Spirit of God can work here? Amen. Aren't you glad? I think Barnabas might have said that. Maybe Barnabas might have said, boy, isn't it wonderful to be part of the body of Christ? You get where I'm going with this? Isn't it wonderful to have the unity where we can have the Holy Spirit fall fresh on us? Amen. Encouraging. Encouraging one another. Hey, if you see somebody that's discouraged, don't wait for them to encourage you. You go encourage them. That's an ideal church member. It's an ideal church member. They see needs and meet it. They steady others. They're spiritual. They're saved, faithful, joyful, encouraging. And I like this too, verse 23. That with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. A spiritual man is a purpose man. What is his purpose? What's the purpose of a spiritual man? That you would draw closer to Christ. A spiritual person wants you to get closer to God. G. Campbell Morgan said this, he is your friend who pushes you nearer to God. That's a friend. That's a spiritual man. A spiritual woman. What is their purpose? To get you closer to God. To get sinners to God and to get you closer to God. That's a spiritual man. Somebody that pushes, hey, young people, don't be mad at this young man and this young lady here when they start pushing you a little bit to be more than you think you can be for God. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're fulfilling this verse. Their purpose is that you would cleave to the Lord. Their purpose is that 10 years from now, you would be still in church on a Sunday night. Amen. Amen. Encouraging. Yes. Purposed man, a purposed man. What's the purpose? His purpose was that they would cleave unto the Lord. I like this, a spiritual man Verse 24, he was a good man. A good man. Isn't it wonderful to have people in your life that you could just simply say, I know theologically there's none good. I get that. You know that. Amen. But the Bible says here that Barnabas was a good man. Isn't it wonderful to say, I go to church with some good men. I go to church with some good ladies. I go to church with some people. You know, I think about people that we've lost in the last years. You know, Vern Kidd was a good man. Warren Hicks was a good man. Jim Alcock was a good man. Earl Wedge was a good man. Max DeCamp was a good man. Noelle Taverney was a good woman. You know, a spiritual person is just somebody that's on the right side of righteousness. Good. Not interested in living for the devil, interested in living for God. A good man. He says there he was a good man. What else? The spiritual man, saved man, faithful man, joyful man, encouraging man, purpose man, good man. Verse 24. Full of the Holy Ghost, a spirit-filled man, spirit-filled woman, somebody that walks with God, full of the Holy Ghost. We talked about that a lot last week. I'll not dwell long, but well, we ought to seek the filling of the Spirit. Lord, fill me and use me. Help me not to be full of self. Help me to be surrendered to you. You do that on a constant basis and you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled man. Oh, I love this next one. Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. You know what else a spiritual man is? A trusting man. Somebody that just trusts God. Just faith. Think of that song, Miss Judy, you and your family sing. I want to have you sing it again. I've got a message all around it called Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. Just trusting. I mentioned that hymn this morning. Simply trusting every day. Trusting through a stormy way. Boy, Brother Lawley, when you go through difficult times, Jonathan and Caitlin, Vanessa and Christine see you trust in God. You know what they say? My daddy's a spiritual man. My daddy's a spiritual man. My mama, my grandma's a spiritual woman. Thank God for that. Amen. It is spiritual to say, you know what? We don't trust in our own flesh. We trust God. Amen. We trust in God. He's a trusting man. And then lastly, I like this, verse 24. It says, and much people was added unto the Lord. What kind of man is he? He's a multiplying man. He's a multiplying man. What do you mean? What do you mean, multiplying man? It means because of him, there are more people in heaven than if he was not here. You say, boy, I feel like I don't win as many souls as I should. Join the club. It's one of the reasons I give to missions. Multiplying. I know I can't win people in South Africa. I can't be there. I'm here. I know I can't win people in China. I know I can't win people in the Philippines. I know I can't win people. You name the place. But I can send somebody to go and be a multiplying man with my fun. Barnabas was a multiplying man. Much people was added unto the Lord. Hey, by the way, don't go to heaven alone. Think about that this week. Think about who you can invite this week and do it. The devil's going to tell you, don't invite anybody, nobody's going to come. And that's exactly who's telling you that, the devil. Literally, 46 years ago on Easter Sunday, my dear friend Phil Tharp got saved. He walked into a dead church that didn't even believe the Bible. He used to call it the First Church of the Refrigerator. Said it was so cold it should have been renamed the First Church of the Refrigerator. And he said they had two of those lecterns that you actually had to take a staircase up and kind of went out here, one on each side. And the first quote-unquote reverend with his collar all messed up went up there and he took the Bible. You know, the Word of God is not bound. Even in First Church of the Refrigerator, something great can happen. As long as the Bible's there. It's the dynamite, amen. He walked up and he took that Bible and he opened it up and he said, since today is Easter Sunday, We will take our reading from the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and he began to read the text that I will read this Sunday. It said, at the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. My friend Phil Tharp said, as soon as he read that, because he had been witnessed to by a friend over and over and over and over, that seed came to sprout, Brother Horsch. And it was mixed with faith right there, and right there in that pew in First Church of the Refrigerator in Pekin, Illinois, he got saved. Somebody invited him. Invite somebody this week. You say, why'd you say all that, Pastor? Because you know what? Because somebody invited Phil Tharp, much people was added unto the Lord. And I'm one of them. Old Edward Kimball, scared, terrible soul winner, like a lot of us feel when we're trying to give the gospel to somebody. Old Edward Kimball, terrible. He was going to witness, and then he got so afraid, he turned around and went the other way, and the Spirit of God smote his heart, and he went back in and witnessed to a young 19-year-old shoe salesman who got saved. Dwight Lyman Moody. Moody Bible Institute, Northfield, Mount Hermon, for years sent missionary after missionary after missionary. Why? Because of one invite. One person. Hey, let's all of us be in the multiplying business. I've said this so many times. If you can't be a soul winner, be a soul bringer. Just bring them here. They'll get it. If you got a teenager, I know Pastor Donald will give them the gospel. If you got somebody that comes into the main service, I hope to think they will get the gospel here. Amen. If you got somebody that's in a Sunday school class, they'll get the gospel. Be a multiplier. A spiritual man is a multiplying man. So they see needs and meet needs. They steady others. They're spiritual. I'll go through these next four fast. Amen. At the end of Acts chapter 11 there, verses 24 through... Oh, look at verse 26. It says there, it says, and he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and the faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in the Antioch. Say, Pastor, what do you see there about Barnabas? I believe he was sensitive. He was, and I don't mean oversensitive, like offended and all that. I mean he was sensitive to the fact that he needed help. Much people was added unto the Lord, and he knew, listen to me, he knew Paul was more equipped for the job than he was. And he could have been prideful and say, well, I can do it. But he went right away and got the Apostle Paul, and for a whole year they assembled themselves. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to be sensitive to our limitations. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It doesn't mean you can be lazy, amen? It doesn't mean you can't try to do things, but this idea of being sensitive to our limitations and needs and abilities, somebody that says, blessed is the man who can't do it all himself. Huh? Blessed is the man who can't do it all himself. And Barnabas was sensitive here, and so he sent for Paul, and Paul came and preached, and they were first called Christians here. Go to Acts chapter 13, number 5 here. So we got sees needs and meets needs, studies others, spiritual, sensitive. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Something we see about Barnabas here is Barnabas was surrendered. Barnabas was surrendered. It's such a joyous thing when we can sing, "I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." My pastor told me that when he was in Bible college, he was just 17 years old as a freshman. He said, "I surrendered to 22 mission fields." He said, "I surrendered to 22 mission fields." He said, "God didn't send me to the mission field, but He uses surrendered people." You say, "Well, I'm too old to go to the mission field." Still ought to be surrendered. Come on. Barnabas was surrendered. He was willing to go wherever God sent and willing to do whatever God wanted. He was surrendered. What else do we see about Barnabas? Acts chapter 15. We got 2 points here, and we'll be through in Acts chapter 15, both in Acts chapter 15 here. Acts chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. This is just a great statement about Barnabas here. It says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Something I see about an ideal church member is they see needs and meet needs. They're steady others. They're spiritual. They're sensitive. They're surrendered. But you know what else they are? They're sound. They're sound. My dear friend, Brother R.B. Ouellette, he said something, and he's going to be preaching this week out at Sycamore. I hope you'll get to hear him. But he said something. Is he preaching Wednesday?
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to hear him. Amen. But let me tell you something he said. Amen. He said this. He said that he did not fear the contemporary church. And it was really a striking statement. I think, Pastor Donald, you and I were there for one of his preacher conferences. He said he didn't fear the contemporary church. He said because he feels like it's a horse and a mule, and it's sterile. There's no doctrine. There's no depth. You know, when somebody asks you, a 35-year member of Loomis Park Baptist Church, a doctrinal question, you should be able to answer them. If you come here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night for 35 years, you're probably sound in the faith. And you know what Barnabas was? He was sound. They trusted him. Thank God for people in our church that we can trust. Just people that I just know you can trust them. If somebody comes and says, "Hey, we need something done," and I say to this person, "Can you do this for me?" I know it's going to get done. I don't have to check up on it. I don't have to every 5 minutes. I know it's going to get. I thank God for sound. Boy, we ought to be sound. You know what sound just really means? Trusted. Used to say sound as a silver dollar. I don't know if we could say that anymore. Amen. But lastly, and probably the crux of the whole message, at the end of Acts chapter 15, we preached on this not too long ago when we dealt with divinely dealing with disagreements. It says, you know, you remember what happened here at Acts 15 and verse 36. Paul and Barnabas determined to go and visit the churches that they had helped. And Barnabas, verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take them with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. You say, "Well, what do you see there, Pastor, about the ideal church member? I mean, there was strife in the church and they were fussing at one another." You know what I see? I see not only that the ideal church member sees needs and meets needs, I see that the ideal church member steadies others, they're spiritual, they're sensitive, they're surrendered, they're sound, but they serve. They serve. You know what Barnabas didn't do? He didn't go like this and say, well, if John Mark's not going, then I'm just not going to do anything for God. An ideal church member doesn't quit. Then quit. If you have a dispute or a disagreement, just do your best to make it right. And keep serving God. How awful would it be to do this? Lay out of church for 2 weeks and the Lord return. I'm afraid of that. I really am. I just want to keep going and going. Be like that energizer bunny. Just keep going and going and going and going until the Lord returns. Barnabas said, yeah, we had a dispute. And maybe I was wrong. Maybe Paul was wrong. But God doubled his ministry. Two missionary teams went out instead of just one. Huh? I don't know about you. I want to be an ideal church member. I don't want to be a griping church member. It's hard because I have to gripe to myself to get in the mirror and say, you know, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Amen. No, but when I sat where you sat, you know, Barnabas is a good goal. See needs and meet needs. Amen. Steady other people. Somebody comes to you and they want to unload the truck. Just say, ho, let's pray. Let's pray. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Spiritual. And we went through all the parts there. If you look at Acts chapter 11, 22 through 24, about a spiritual man. Sensitive. Surrendered. Amen? Somebody that's surrendered. Somebody that's sound in the faith. Sound in the word and doctrine. And just keep serving. You know what? I think we're going to meet when we get to heaven a lot of ideal church members that went to 2301 North Elm Road. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. Thank you.